The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80. So much for home sweet home. By the way, for the Clips and the Mavs, could the home team win a game? More on that in a sec. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The problem is the Clippers don't have a home. L.A. is the Lakers' home. Clippers better go find a home. Bomber better take them back home. Take them up to Seattle. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. So Coach K had a retirement press conference, and first of all I can tell you is leading up to it, the other speakers, boy, they like the word iconic in that area. I heard iconic so many times. Okay, he's an icon. I got it. And listen, he is either the best or the second best, greatest or second greatest college coach of all time. I mean, no one won more than John Wooden, but it was much easier then to be dominant. Just like, it's not that John Wooden doesn't deserve credit for the championships, but you discount it in an era in which it's easier to have fewer teams. If you have a player like Kareem or Bill Walton, it's easier to get it. There are fewer one-and-dones, obviously, right? There weren't one-and-dones. Like the Celtics championships. Yeah, they're tied with the Lakers 17-17, but they existed in an era with very few teams in the NBA. So if you had the dominant team, you're going to win the championship every year, which is what the Celtics did. It's not that they don't count. It's that they count less than what the Lakers did in the modern era. And Coach K has done this in the modern era. 5 championships, 12 Final Four appearances is up on ESPN Plus right now, which if you don't have, get ESPN Plus. Just trust me. Yeah, Coach K is an argument. He's the greatest coach ever, you know, second behind Wooden. And he talked a lot about not just opportunity, but belief. Opportunity with belief is what he was all about. And by the way, said he's leaving now not because of his age, not because of health, not because of any scandal in college basketball. He claims it was just time. Here's Coach K at his retirement press. By the way, wait. He's going to coach this upcoming season. And they have a chance to win a national title. Here's Coach K at the press conference announcing that this will be his final season.
The reason we're doing this is because Mickey and I have decided the journey's going to be over in a year. And we're going to go after it as hard as we possibly can. And then we'll be a part of Duke's continuing journey, like President Price said, for as long as we're around.
That's Coach K. And all I can tell you is that he's an easy guy to like and maybe the greatest college coach of all time, certainly on a short list. And we can only hope now that he's gone or he's going to retire after this year, that Duke never has any success ever again. I think all good people can hope for that. And that was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Or no, excuse me. Now it's time for Straight Talk. That wasn't straight. That was Crooked Talk. Here comes Straight Talk. That talk was bent. Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
But we got to win, you know, that's all that matters. And we got one more to go, and we got to focus here. We didn't do nothing yet.
You're winning on the road. How do you take it to win at home?
We got to play like we play on the road, man.
How do I say this? I can't call Luka Doncic the best player in the NBA. Because if LeBron's healthy, is he better than LeBron? Is he better than James Harden? Maybe. You can't make that statement definitively. So how do you say what you mean about Luka? This is how I would say it. If you weighed every player's value on a you know value scale in basketball, so it's not just how great. I don't mean like who would you start a franchise with? Because sometimes you might start a franchise with a guy like Kobe Bryant when he was a teenager, who's going to be 2 to 3 years away from being an all-star even. Let alone already one of the best players in the game. I don't mean who you start a franchise with. I mean who has the most value, like who has the most trade value. Not just their age, but the level at which they're already competing. Like how close do you think they can get you to a championship? And their age, right? Luka is by so far number one in the NBA. Is there a number two? I mean Kawhi Leonard, listen, and Kawhi did not have a very good game. It looked like it was going to be Paul George's night. But Nicholas Batum couldn't get a little putback, right, at point-blank range at the end of regulation. Although there were like 9 seconds left. You know what would have happened? They'd have gone up by one, and Luka would have hit the shot to win the game on the other end. And I got to say, I can blame Ty Lue. Like, why not put Kawhi on Luka more? Kawhi didn't look like he wanted it with Luka. I got to be honest, and Kawhi's my dude. I predicted he was going to be. I said he's already the greatest player in the NBA a year and a half ago, and I was wrong. I thought he'd prove it on the biggest stage, and he didn't. But he airballed a corner three with the game on the line, would have sent it to overtime. I was sure he was going to hit it. He airballed it. Rondo was like, what? Although Rondo's a fine one to talk because Rondo had a bad, you know, I'm all for playoff Rondo. That's real. Love me some Rondo. He wasn't good yesterday. Everyone has bad games. Rondo had one. Paul George had mostly a good game. But if Kawhi's not going to hit that last shot, you ain't going to win. Kawhi's got to play the hero, and he was unable to do it. Luka outperformed Kawhi and Paul George put together. This dude went for 42, 14, and 8. And then you know what he said after the game when they asked him about it? In the interview, I don't mean at the press conference. He said, I was terrible down the stretch. I need to be better than that. And credited Dorian Finney-Smith as the key guy who helped them win. Luke is 22 years old, and he's clearly the best player on either team. And those teams have some super, has a superstar in Kawhi. Kawhi's a superstar. And an all-star in Paul George. And there's a 7'3" unicorn who's not really playing up to his standards in Kristaps Porzingis on his own team. And Tim Hardaway Jr. can ball. And Luke is so much better than everyone, it's like embarrassing right now. So the way I would put it is he's the most valuable player in the league. I don't mean he's the best. I mean he's the guy you most want on your team given his age and his ability. And his ability isn't just to score 42, but to make everyone around him better. See, if Porzingis now gets healthy and gets back to where at least he was in the playoffs last year before he got hurt, that's why the Mavs were my sleeper team, my dark horse the entire season, even from the preseason. And I know you're looking at that team like Kleba and Finney-Smith and these guys. They're role players, but who other than Luka can go get his own shot and do things at a high level? Porzingis is a big, and Tim Hardaway Jr. You can look at that team and go, if Tim Hardaway Jr. did that more consistently, he's doing it consistently now. Mavs are going to be a problem for people if Porzingis can get right. Here's Luka on his performance after the game.
I mean, I could have played way better, you know. I missed a lot of shots, some layups that I should have made. But it wasn't just me, man. It was the whole team, the energy. Doro was unbelievable. DP, I mean, Dwight Powell with his energy. KP with a big shot. Timmy with a big shot, you know. And the whole team was just there bringing up the energy.
Luka Doncic dealing with nerve damage in his neck. In a series that looked over, everyone predicting now they're going to lose four straight after they lost two at home, goes on the road to a favored team with multiple all-stars and scored or assisted on 83.8% of the Mavs' field goals in a win. And that is the highest such percentage in playoff game history, in NBA history in the playoffs. In a win! With nerve damage in his neck. Should try giving him nerve damage in other places, too. That's just the neck. What happens if we do it to the back, the arms, the legs? That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Meantime, Lakers' Anthony Davis will be a game-time decision. Game 6 against the Suns. Street clothes. I keyed. I mean, AD. Here's the problem, though. And AD said, like, well, here, listen to what AD said. Then I want to talk about it.
It's tough, you know, especially last night, you know, watching the game and, you know, not being able to help the team on the floor. It's the toughest part, knowing that I couldn't contribute. My body just wouldn't allow me to. Like I said, as far as tomorrow, I obviously want to. I'm still waiting to get medically cleared, you know, with the groin. Like I said, I'm doing everything, you know, treatments around the clock and, you know, it's just with me all the time, you know, with the treatment and the exercises and the rehab stuff to, you know, see if, you know, everything is green for me to go on the court tomorrow.
Here's the thing, Lakers fans. You can say what you want. Like, Chris Paul has a banged up shoulder. It's different. You don't have to walk on your shoulder. Like, you need his lower extremity to walk, right? Here's the thing. I know a lot of people are saying, hey, he's got to play. He's got to go game 6 if he can because it's win or go home. I would agree unless the medical advice he's getting is, yes, you can play, but there's a high risk of a catastrophic injury if you do. Lakers fans, do you want him playing in a game six if there's a high risk of him not playing until, say, the middle of next year? Do you want that? I don't. Otherwise, he needs to go. It's win or go home. But let me tell you something. Given Chris Paul's shoulder, Lakers going to win game six. It's going to come down to a game seven. And you just got to hope AD can go. Look who showed up on the Goodyear hotline. CP the franchise. NBA analyst, Knicks fan, TV. Okay, CP. You want to split an Uber to Barclays or what? What do you...
Win or lose, Max, I'm always here, always representing the orange and blue, never running from the smoke.
Right, so that means lose. If it's win or lose, you're always there and you're a Knicks fan, it means lose. Lose or lose, lose, well, I'm always here. Just listen, say lose.
4-1, we lost to a better team in the Hawks. Coach team and Nate with Nick McMillan. Congratulations to him. Contract extension on the way.
Yeah.
Trae Young was absolutely fantastic. 29-10 in this series. Yeah. We had no answer for him. You know, he was a triple threat from the floater to kicking it out to his 3-point shooters, the lob to Capella. We just had no answers. Defensively, they were able to take away our guy, who was Julius Randle. And the Knicks had to settle for too many isolation plays. We didn't get enough ball movement going. Couldn't hit our open shots. And there was no consistent help from our supporting cast. And just all in all, you know, I just thought the Hawks were a better team in this
series.
They were.
And the Knicks are – here's the problem I have, CP, with Knicks fans, and I used to be one,
yeah,
is, oh, it's a successful season. Because we showed the – you know, we can – Julius Randle even said it. He's miscast as a number one option. He's a solid number two option. But if you're a really good team, he's good as a number three option, right? So I get
correct.
It. You know, and he's right. They played in a way that New York could be proud of, the style of play. But this is my point. Knicks fans have been so desensitized to sucking for so long. I'm in my 48th year. They still haven't won a championship. That moral victories are now, hey, at least we didn't roll over, even in a gentleman's sweep. No. At least we played hard. So now, CP, the Knicks are up to this point. Like, the Nets showed a healthy culture. They weren't in New York for 48 years. They showed up a couple years later. Okay, this is a good place to play. It's easy to sell New York. KD, Kyrie, and James Harden, right? The Knicks are now hoping, hey, have we shown enough that maybe a guy like, say, Bradley Beal, who'd be our best player by a million light years and who's not nearly good enough to be the best player on a championship team, and I love Bradley Beal, maybe a guy like that might sign with us. And then you know what you are? You're hoping to get to a second-round treadmill where not bad enough to get a great draft pick, not good enough to win a championship. This was my life as a Knicks fan. I can't. I'm losing my mind. Look at you. You're in
there
that set.
Go.
I'm trying to help you.
No, you can't help me because there's nothing in Brooklyn for me. And this is you moving the goalposts as you always do every single show. Despite that, it is a successful season. You wanted Tom Thibodeau to come in here and lay the foundation and lay the culture down for years to come, and he's done that. Doubled their win total from last year. He's done that with David Fizdale's team. Yet Julius Randle, the most improved player, okay? They have a young core, R.J. Barrett, Mitchell Robinson, Obi Toppin, Emmanuel Quickley. Now it's time to continue to build. Now they have seven draft picks within the next, first round picks within the next 5 years. $60 million in cap space. It's not to say, you know, this is not going to come here next year. Let's be real. Kawhi Leonard's not coming here. They're not going to be able to trade for Dame. What they need to do is continue to build responsibly and using a prudent approach, a la the Utah Jazz. Build it as a small market team. Continue to draft well, and then when the opportunity presents itself to make a Nets move to trade some of your assets off and get a player
to
that can
like
help you get you over the hump,
CP
then
the
you
franchise,
go for it.
NBA analyst, Knicks Fan TV on the Goodyear Hotline. CP is capable of much more, thankfully for him, than talking about the Knicks. But I want to. But before we get off the subject, CP.
Yeah.
The Nets did that quick, fast, in a hurry. By the way, you know the last New York professional basketball team to win a championship was the Nets?
Yeah.
The last New York team, they were the New York Nets, 76. Dr. J, who's from here, who's from your neck of the woods, right? Dr. J,
that's a fact.
New Yorker, born and bred, won for the New York Nets in the ABA, right? That happened. That's the last New York championship. Then the Nets went to Jersey, like the Giants and the Jets did, right? But then they came back to Brooklyn. couple years later, after being in Brooklyn, like that, they get KD, Kyrie, and James Harden. Now, here's the problem for you Knicks fans, okay? Knicks have no equity with fans. They were just the only game in town for decades and decades and decades. Lakers fans, 11 championships in the modern era. Oh, it's almost twice as much as the next best team. Lakers fans, Clippers can win a couple championships. It's never going to be a Clippers town. They can only hope to make a little inroads. But this town, CP, you're about to see, if the Nets get by the Bucks, New York's going to flip, CP. Why would the fans stick with the Knicks? What have the Knicks ever done for the fans? No.
Because the Knicks fan is the most loyal fan in sports. And maybe to a fault. You're not going to have fans bolting over to Brooklyn just because they won.
Knicks fans are like an abused pet. They love the owner anyway, and they get beaten, and it's no good.
Listen, we have a new regime putting us on the right path. In Brooklyn, you'll get a couple hipsters, a couple techies in the new Brooklyn that'll flock over to the Nets. Mm. But listen, the diehard Knicks fan, I was just out there at MSG last Wednesday night, spilt out onto 7th Avenue after the game to win the first victory in 8 years, and it was like championship. Why? Because the loyalty, Max, the loyalty, the tried and true orange and blue fans. We had thousands of fans out there in the streets celebrating. It was like a scene out of the movie Project X.
No, you know what it's like?
Never going to happen in Brooklyn.
It's like the character from Lord of the Rings, Reek. That's what it's like. You guys have been flayed alive, and now you're like slaves to Jim Dolan. All right, listen, CP, I want to talk about other stuff going on in the NBA with you.
Let's go.
You know, it breaks my heart for Denver that Jamal Murray's not there. They have a very deep guard rotation, and they've been excellent without Jamal Murray. And I think they're going to beat Portland, and I think they have a shot against a team like Utah even. But they don't have Jamal Murray, right? And so when you look at Denver and you look at Utah, right? Let's take the teams no one cares about, and then we're going to get to the Lakers and the Clippers and stuff. Yeah. Do you think Denver has a chance to not only get by Portland but to maybe upset Utah if they meet?
No, I just see this Jazz team as being too deep. When you look at the Spider, welcome back, Donovan Mitchell, because he's been back like he hasn't missed a step. You have the Stifle Tower down low, offensively, defensively. You have the sixth man of the year in Jordan Clarkson coming off the bench, Joe Ingles. There's a lot of firepower on that Jazz team that I just don't think the Nuggets have enough defensively to counter. Mm-hmm. Now, on the flip side, on offense, everything runs through Jokic. We know that. Austin Rivers, Knicks missed him in this series.
Playoff Rivers! It's like playoff Rondo! Rivers. Austin Rivers can't play basketball until it counts, and then he's a killer!
Yeah, playoff Rivers has certainly arrived. Porter Jr. having an outstanding season, but I just don't think defensively they'll have enough to counter the Jazz attack. They'll have enough to get past Dame and the Blazers and probably eliminate them tonight, but I think I don't see them getting past Utah in the next
one. What about Kawhi and Paul George against Luka Doncic? Luka Doncic, just 42-14-8 on the road in a win. Good Lord, this dude, 22 years old. Can the Clippers come back from that?
They can, but the Mavs have momentum right now, man. I mean, 22 years old on a bad neck. The kid turns it around with a 42-14 performance with 8 rebounds, accounting for 31 of the team's 37 field goals. Third game with at least 39 or more. The kid's been absolutely unstoppable. He flamed Patrick Beverley. He's flaming Rondo. He's flaming Reggie Jackson. I mean, the Clippers literally have no answer for the kid. And so despite the fact that he's doing a lot with a little, I think this Mavericks team, having won 3 games on the road, they have to be feeling good about themselves going back to Dallas and hoping to close it out.
Do the Lakers, I was just talking about it, you know, CP3, the people aren't like, you know why I didn't know about CP3's shoulder even that night? Because I didn't watch the second half of that travesty. I was watching Denver and Portland. Next morning, I find out from a producer of mine in the morning, like, you see what happened to CP3's shoulder? And I went and looked. I was like, oh my God, he's compromised. No one's really talking about it. Everyone's focused on AD. Doesn't that give the Lakers a chance to extend this series to 7 games, winning at home? What do you think of their chances?
Well, what concerned me, Max, was that the Lakers' offense just wasn't there, especially in game 5. Now, with AD, I don't think he's going to go. I'm no medical expert. I don't think he's going to go, and that's going to take a lot away from the Lakers, because now you're asking for LeBron James at 36 years old to put the team on his back, and not only that, create through dribble penetration and not just on the perimeter. You got absolutely nothing from Dennis Schroeder. Kuzma, who you're going to need to step up, has been inconsistent. They just have no answers offensively. They're shooting very poorly in this series. The Suns, on the other end, what surprised me in the Suns' three wins in this series is that they didn't shoot any greater than 35% from three. And so they're getting a mixed bag of offense, obviously, from Booker. Ayton's been dominant, but they're able to mix it up. Payne has been great off of the bench. They're able to attack the Lakers in the paint, and they're getting a lot of mid-range shots off. So I think Chris Paul will be a good decoy for them, but I still think the Suns will have enough to put the Lakers away tonight.
Well, the Lakers are not the Knicks. They usually come through. Now, listen, CP, before I let you go, and you have 30 seconds. 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you, because I'm a Yankees fan, Yankees get knocked out. I root against the Mets. I hate the Mets, right? I'm a New York sports fan. You have to hate the other team. But Brooklyn Nets, New York's basketball team, still playing basketball. They're playing the Bucks. Yeah. Who are you rooting for in that series?
The owner of the Bucks, Larry Edens, was a diehard Knicks fan. I am sticking with him. And Greek Freak, I trust. Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday.
You're rooting against the Brooklyn Nets.
Do not sleep on Bryn Forbes. I like this well-balanced attack of the Milwaukee
Bucks. I agree.
Bucks.
You can't sleep on Bryn Forbes.
He's coming to put a statement out there.
You also can't sleep on Kevin Durant, but you can't sleep on Bryn Forbes. It's true. KD also you can't sleep on. Or Harden. Kyrie's pretty good, too. All right. CP, the franchise. I can't. You're rooting against Brooklyn. Look at that, everybody.
Always.
A real New York
Always.
Traitor. Look at that traitor.
Yeah. Turn a real coat. Knicks fan. A real Knicks
Thank
fan.
Thank you, CP. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks again.
CP the Franchise, ladies and gentlemen. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at Progressive.com. Does LeBron still have a playoff mode to go to in him? The football offseason is always wild. All the trades and free agent signings, new coach hires, and teams have to be excited for the coming season, of course. But if you want to hire people that you're excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/max. And it's an exclusive web address. ZipRecruiter.com/max. Once again, ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Final score, Phoenix by 30. Suns 115 and the Lakers 85.
I don't know, man. We got our kids. I mean, it's just that simple. Nate got to whatever they wanted to get to in this game. And, you know, we got to be better, obviously, if we want to force a game 7.
You know, we didn't play well enough on either side of the ball early in the game. They built a big lead. We didn't respond.
To see how they handled the pressure on Thursday, I thought they would handle it better tonight.
Find out what we're made of, and we'll find out how bad we want this.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80. LeBron still got that next level in him. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight for Game 6 as the Lakers host the Suns, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 10 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Does playoff mode even still exist for LeBron? It's going to happen. Like, I thought it was going to happen last year. Maybe I was right, but a year late. There's another word for that. It's called being wrong. But I'd prefer to think of it as a right, but a year late. LeBron hasn't had a 30-point game since March 18th. Yeesh. The problem is, though, that, like, if you look at the game the other day, they don't respect the Lakers shooters. Phoenix doesn't. So lots of and LeBron's not a great shooter. So you want to get to the rack, right? But he can't really. There's a lot of bodies down there. Jeff Van Gundy, former Knicks coach and ESPN NBA analyst on Barton Hahn, said the following.
Didn't surprise me that the Lakers struggled to score because they're a very limited offensive team when you take out Anthony Davis. But defensively, they've been so great for so long that I was a little surprised at some of the shots that they were able to create. I think it'll change. I think they'll make it harder on Phoenix at home in Game 6. But if Davis doesn't play, you know, they can play better. Schroeder can obviously score, and Caldwell Pope, you know, he can produce. But they're still going to struggle to be an explosive offensive team. But I would suspect in Game 6, you'll see a great effort defensively and on the backboard.
And Jeff Van Gundy would know something about limited offensive teams. He was a Knicks coach for years. I'm here all week, folks. Josh in Michigan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, you were speaking on Luka and how valuable he is. And I'm curious, you would not take Giannis to start a franchise, or you don't find him more valuable than Luka, you know?
You know what the difference is? They're on a similar level, the two of them. Luka's quite a bit younger at this point. What's Giannis, about 25? I'll tell you right now. Look it up. He's 26. Luka's 22. Giannis really is a big. I mean, Giannis and Luka really belong on the same team with Luka as the point forward. But I mean, and when I say it's not fair to Giannis, he needs a guy who's not a big, who's as great as him to win a championship, just like Kareem needed Magic and Oscar, just like Shaq needed Kobe and Wade. Even Penny wasn't good enough, right? That's who I mean. I don't mean Bradley Beal or someone like, or Chris Paul even. I mean Luka. That's who Giannis needs. That's what it takes in the NBA. But no, I wouldn't put Giannis quite on his level, because while he's better defensively, Giannis has improved his shooting, but he's not a shooter. What you can see from Luka is he can get his own step back three anytime he wants it. He's not even converting them at a high level yet, but you can see he's a better shooter than Giannis. And he's a better passer than Giannis, and Giannis is an excellent passer. And he's got better handles than Giannis. And he has better control of the game than Giannis. Giannis is much better defensively, and they're on a similar level. When you say Giannis or Luka, you're talking about the best young players in the game. Luka has a little more value than Giannis. You could get more for him in a trade. His team would be more reluctant to trade him. He's likely to, I think, fare better in the playoffs. Primo in South Central. What's up, Primo? Long time.
Hey, listen, guys. I just want to say that with Giannis and Luka, because I changed my story, I listened to you guys so much. If there were a 26-mile marathon from the Nifu Desert to the top of Mount Everest, Giannis would beat Luka. But in the NBA, in a playoff game, right, when other things are more productive and important than sheer physicality and athleticism, Luka is wow.
Luka has that Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, LeBron James. I'd say James Harden, although he hasn't done it enough in the playoffs yet. Ability to by himself control a game, even when there are great stars on the other team and more of them. Giannis does not yet have that in the playoffs, mainly for two reasons, I believe. Giannis's handles are excellent for a big, but they're not excellent, period. They're not excellent for a wing. And Giannis has improved his shooting, but he's still not a good shooter. And those two things play against him in the playoffs, because it means he plays up. He plays big, rather. He plays like a big. And bigs need a non-big with them to win. It's just the way it works. Richard in Manhattan. Boy, Richard, we haven't spoken to for a minute. Go ahead, Richard.
Max.
Yes.
Dallas beat the Clippers last night.
Yeah.
I've never seen this in a box score. Mm-hmm. Dallas had only two players in double-digit scoring.
Yeah.
Luka and Hardaway. Yeah. Yeah. The rest of the guys all scored 9 and less points, and they still won the game.
Yep.
One more thing, Max.
Yep.
Ben Simmons, you got to apologize. Came up big yesterday. 19 points, 11 rebounds.
Well, I said I thought he'd win. I didn't say I think he... I'm very high on Ben Simmons. Why would I
yesterday
apologize?
Yesterday you didn't sound that way.
Yeah, I thought they were going to win, and I thought the pressure's on Ben Simmons to perform. We didn't get to it in First Take today, but one of the topics, which because of the Krzyzewski press conference we couldn't get to, one of our topics was going to be Simmons or Westbrook, right? You know, disappointed in Westbrook or impressed by Simmons, and I was impressed by Simmons because the pressure was on him. Had they lost, the pressure would have shifted off him and onto Doc Rivers. Like, you're going to blow another 3-1 series. But as it was, the pressure's on Simmons. What are you going to do, Ben Simmons? And you know what he did? Playing video games with Seth Curry, reportedly. He said, I'm going to need 30 from you tonight. You give me 30, I'll take care of the rest. We're going to win. And that's exactly what happened. That's also leadership. Like, pumping up one of the role players to really fill some shoes. And then making sure he does, hooking him up with the ball, and then getting a triple, you know, like a 19-point. Did he have a triple-double? He had a great overall game, played defense, everything. I was very impressed with Ben Simmons. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. That's different than saying I think you can win a championship with him as your best player. I think Simmons, it's one thing to have a lack of shooting. It's another thing to be psychotic about your unwillingness to shoot. He just won't even take a shot. But he's a great player, nevertheless, Simmons. The Max Kellerman Show presented by Progressive Insurance. So did Simmons silence his critics? The Ultimate Fighter, the reality show that brings top MMA prospects together under one roof to compete for a UFC contract, is back. Stream the season premiere on Tuesday only on ESPN+. You can also stream my show, The Max Kellerman Show, along with hours of daily sports talk. Accept my representation. ESPN Plus is, for the entertainment dollar, the best bang in entertainment. Best bang for your entertainment dollar anywhere. Trust me on this. If you're a sports fan, it's ridiculous. I wish this thing existed when I was a kid. ESPNplus.com. Sign up now.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Check me out on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, wherever you get podcasts. Going to get to your calls in a second. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Ben Simmons, yeah, I asked, didn't he have a triple-double? He did against the Wizards. I was watching the Knicks and the Hawks. But, you know, you flip back and forth. 7 of 11 from the field, 5 of 8 from the stripe. 19 points, 10 boards, 11 assists, a steal, 2 blocks. Sixers won game 5, 129-112. The Wizards are done. And as I said, even told Seth Curry, I need 30 from you tonight, and got it. By the way, Daryl Morey, how long has it been since it's like you really got to get shooters on this team? Not only did he bring in shooters, Seth Curry is a shooter. Danny Green can shoot, but he can also defend. Dwight Howard is, you know, an efficient player in the paint, in putbacks and stuff. Get you some extra rebounds, play some defense. Daryl Morey got there and just like a couple quick moves, nothing like major, really made this team better. And Doc Rivers is an excellent coach. You know, ultimately, I don't believe in this team without Embiid. And even if they had Embiid, Simmons, it's not just that he's not a great shooter the way Giannis isn't a great shooter. He won't even shoot. So they're not going to beat Brooklyn. They're not going to beat Brooklyn. But if they have Embiid, they give Brooklyn their best run, I think. And then the question is for Brooklyn. Do they have they played enough to get connected on defense? Because remember, when Harden first got there, offensively they were great right away. But the defense took 2 or 3 weeks. Now, they've gone through that experience once already. Does that speed up the timetable the next time they all get healthy, which is now, and play together? Because they've only played 5 games in these playoffs. Is that enough time to get ready for the Bucks so that by the middle of the series, their defense is good enough to beat the Bucks? And all it needs to be is average, and they'll beat the Bucks. But have they had enough time? Larry in Long Beach, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, how you doing, man?
Go ahead, Larry. Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, Max,
I'm sorry. Someone should have told Larry. Someone should have told everyone. Brendan, did you inform the callers, know how you're doing? Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, we tell them, hey, get right to it when Max comes on. Get right to your point.
But you have to be specific. Know how you're doing. Because the problem with how you're doing is...
We buzz him and he did it again.
Yeah, the problem with how you're doing is it's reflexive. It doesn't really mean anything. It's friendly. It's how you start a social call. This is not a social call. This is an entertainment program. So I have no time for niceties. No, bad Raj. Bad Raj. That's a very bad Raj. If you say, what's up, how you doing, I think we have to drop the call. You can say you love me, you hate me, you can give an opinion off the top or ask a question or state your opinion. But I need to instill discipline in the ranks or we won't get to do what we need to do here. So, Larry, let's try it one more time. Larry in Long Beach.
Max,
yes.
Really quick.
Yes.
I think the Lakers are done. Hmm. They don't have guys who can create off the dribble. Mm-hmm. They all need to be set up. Mm-hmm. I don't think even with AD, Anthony Davis, that they
well,
got
Schroeder's supposed to be
series.
That guy, but he's not. Schroeder's supposed to be that guy. Landon in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
All right, what's it called? So, I personally think that the Milwaukee Bucks are going to be the team to come out the East this year. I feel like they pose the biggest threat to the Brooklyn Nets. They play the best defense out of all the other teams in the Eastern Conference, in my opinion, and they got the star power to beat them too.
Well, this would be a scintillating finals. Milwaukee-Utah would be a scintillating. I'm sure all the networks in the league is really hoping for that Milwaukee-Utah finals. Because, by the way, there's a not an insignificant chance that could be the finals. You're not wrong. If the Nets don't have it together. But let me tell you something. If the Nets have it together, if they have the defense the way it was after they played together a couple weeks, if they're a mid-pack defense, the Bucks can't beat the Nets. No way. I think Bryn Forbes can really shoot. I'm sure they thought that in San Antonio, and they're finding it out in Milwaukee. You know who else can really shoot? Kevin Durant can really shoot. You know? I see your Bryn Forbes, and I raise you a KD. Yeah, but they have Giannis. Okay, Giannis, Drew Holiday, and Middleton versus KD, James Harden, and Kyrie. Oh, my Lord. Joe Harris shoots it like Bryn Forbes, only he's taller. Mitch in New Jersey. Nah, hold on. No, not Mitch. Marty in Missouri. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. Here's quick time. I'm a longtime Phoenix Suns fan.
Yeah.
The Phoenix Suns would have taken Luka Doncic and Dallas had DeAndre Ayton. Where do you think both teams would be today?
What about Luka Doncic, DeAndre Ayton? If the Phoenix Suns had taken Luka instead of Ayton?
Remember, Phoenix was supposedly going to take Luka Doncic in that draft. And they instead took DeAndre Ayton. If they both
if they don't take it's an interesting question, because if they don't take DeAndre Ayton and they take Luka, then they probably don't need to trade for a Chris Paul. They can use assets to trade for someone else. So if you have I don't know who that would be exactly, I'd have to think about it, but if you have some kind of Chris Paul-level value in another player or spread out among two starters, plus you have Devin Booker and Luka Doncic, what do I think of Phoenix? I think they come out of the West. But remember, Luka played overseas. People didn't know. I remember thinking, he might be great, but I remember hearing them say that about Gallinari originally. Oh, he's cocky, he's this, he's a high draft pick. The Knicks took him 6th overall, I think, and in Europe he's great, and da-da-da-da. But, compared to NBA players, he was only good. How were we to know about Luka, not having seen him play in college? I think it's fair to say at this point he would have been a fantastic college player, Luka Doncic. He's the most valuable commodity in basketball right now, given his age and level of productivity and nerves in the playoffs already.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.